Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he has written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Michael Shackelford is the force behind the websites Wizard of Odds, Wizard of Vegas, and Wizard of Macau. An actuary by profession, Michael has been analyzing the whole gamut of casino games since 1995. His Wizard of Odds website explains the best strategies for 140 different casino games. Michael is also the author of Gambling 102, The Best Strategies for All Casino Games, and is a former adjunct professor of gaming math at UNLV. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you will be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Mike.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
Good evening. I'm Mike Shackelford.
Tonight, our guest was supposed to be Michael Gaughan, owner of the South Point Casino. Now, Mr. Gaughan had a meeting tonight, so he came by the studio this afternoon to tape the show. And we did tape it. It was a good interview. All three of us, Mr. Gaughan, Shackelford, and Dancer, were all happy with the way it went. Unfortunately, the radio station screwed up the tape of the show. It is unusable. So Michael and I are going to Plan B, for which we are actually well prepared. We have a couple interviews pre-taped in case of some sort of show malfunction. We didn't know exactly what kind of show malfunction it would be, but this is it. Tonight's guest will be BJ Traveler. He is a player with an unusual story, and I think you'll enjoy hearing from him. We're in the process of rescheduling Michael Gaughan. Our best current guess is that he'll be on the air Thursday, March 29th. Which is 3 weeks from tonight. We apologize for the change. We promoted the heck out of Michael Gaughan's appearance, and we asked him some tough questions, and his answers were surprisingly frank for a casino owner. But unfortunately, it's just not to be tonight. Sorry. Michael, you've been telling us for the last couple weeks that you were going to run up the stratosphere. Now, this is supposed to happen last Saturday. I see you're still alive, so how did the run go?
It went great. Thanks for asking. They asked me to show up at 10 o'clock, and they told everyone to show up at different times because, unlike a race, it's a narrow stairway, so they had everyone starting 30 seconds apart so there wouldn't be any traffic jams in the stairway. And my time was 12 minutes and 41 seconds, which I'm pretty proud of. Let me put that in perspective. There were 352 people in the event, and I finished 73rd, so that's the 21st percentile. If you look at just the men, I finished 58th out of 183. And if you look at the men age 40 to 49, of which I'm one of them, I finished 22nd out of 52. So I was pretty proud of myself. The stairway was rather dusty, and I was still a little bit sick at the time, and I didn't train too hard for it, but I keep in shape every day, regardless of if there's anything to train for or not. So it all went well. It was very well organized, and I'm looking forward to doing it again next year.
Very good. Do most people make it up the stairs? Or, I mean, you took 12 minutes. Did anybody take a half hour or longer to go up?
They mentioned while I was waiting to go up that in the previous 3 years, the success rate was 100%. And what was the question again?
Yeah, I mean, you did 12 minutes. So did some people do a half hour or
yes,
longer?
Yes, yes. On the website, they indicate everyone's time, and the longest time was a little bit more than an hour. And I passed some people in the hallways that were standing in the corner trying to stay out of people's way, but they were just keeled over and just exhausted. But
they didn't stop.
They didn't stop, and everyone made it up there in previous years, and I assume so this year. And to be perfectly honest with you, it's really not that hard. If I can do it in 12 minutes and 41 seconds, you know, the average person, you know, should be able to do it in twice that much. And it's the equivalent of about 68 stories, which really is not that bad. When I go to the gym to practice on it, I climb 200 flights on the stair machine.
Uh-huh. I'm good. I may join you next year. I may not.
Well, I'm going to try to hold you to that.
Okay. Well, good. I you can hold me to that I may or I may not.
I'm going to hold you to a firm maybe.
All right. Good. Now, we had an email from Jamie in Florida. He wants to know, how much math do you need to know in order to be an advantage player? Now, Shaq, you're our resident math whiz, so I'll let you tackle this one first.
You don't need to know very much at all, as long as you go by the book and play your cards the right way, you should be in good shape. However, it definitely gets you extra credit if you're good at math. You never know what kind of promotion will you'll come across, and sometimes you need at least algebra to figure these things out. And furthermore, I think that the more math you know, the healthier of a respect you will have for the mathematicians that came before you that explained, here is the way to make money. I think you will trust the math better. I think you will manage your bankroll better, and you will be unlikely to be betting for square reasons, which I see so-called professional gamblers do all the time.
I agree with most of that. I'm not so sure that knowing math helps your bankroll management, but
I see recreational professional gamblers overbetting their bankroll all the time, and sometimes I ask them, "Don't you think you bet too much on that game, or your bankroll is not sufficiently sized to play that video poker game?" And they will look at me like I was just speaking Russian, and they have no idea about risk and how to manage it.
Well, that is true, but there is a difference between knowledge and discipline. And sometimes what you're talking about is discipline rather than knowledge. Now, on BobDancer.com, there's more than 500 articles, and probably 50 of them are about evaluating promotions. And some have some sort of easy algebra, or occasionally probability, on how to figure out the promotions. So if you want to learn the math for video poker stuff, looking at those articles is a good place to start. Now, I can tell you that I am out there trying to beat these casinos, and I bring every tool I have. Part of that is some math skills. I'm not near the level of Shackelford, but I'm not terrible either. I bring negotiating skills. I bring knowledge from conversations with various people. So everything I have, I bring to the game to try to squeeze equity out of it. So learning math is one way to squeeze equity. There are others. About a month ago, we had Lori C. on the show. She is was a member of the MIT Blackjack team. She married the leader of that team. And she knew very little math, but she was able to follow the team rules. So they would tell her what to do. She was able to execute the plan. So if you have a good strategy devised by Michael or me or somebody else, you can execute it. You could get more if you would be able to figure out stuff on your own. But you can be profitable just executing somebody else's strategy.
I agree.
Last week, I presented a puzzle where the winner gets copies of both my fabulous novels, Sex, Lies, and Video Poker, and more Sex, Lies, and Video Poker. The puzzle was to punctuate the following to make it into a rhyming couplet. There once was a gambler, and he was deaf as a post. We had lots of incorrect answers and lots of people telling me that the question was impossible for one reason or another. Some suggested that I was dumb as a post for even suggesting it. Last week, when I told him the correct answer before the show, Shaq was willing to bet me that nobody would come up with the correct answer. I didn't take the bet, partly because I thought he might be right. We actually had two separate correct answers, one of whom, Elliot Jacobson, was our guest last week, and so he really isn't eligible. And he came close to the right answer when we were sharing a drink afterwards, and I gave him a little hint, and then he got the correct answer. But although I did give him copies of the novels, it wasn't because he got the right answer. But one of our listeners, Daniel Dale from Brighton, Colorado, also came up with the correct answer. The key to getting it correct was to spell out the word post. The way you do it with punctuation is to place either periods or hyphens between the letters. And if you do this, you come up with, there once was a gambler and he was deaf as a P-O-S-T. That is indeed a rhyming couplet. Not very sensical, but it is a rhyming couplet.
So, just out of curiosity, did you have this in mind when you wrote the book years ago?
Did I have what in mind?
This trivia or this puzzle.
Well, I actually read this puzzle from in a games magazine 30-some years ago. And there it was about a farmer who was deaf as a post. And, of course, because of this show, I switched it to gambler. And I'm sure everybody's really impressed by that clever switch. But so I have several favorite puzzles that I kind of collected over the years. And so periodically I will dust them out and show up here.
But that is an actual sentence in a book that was written years ago. So did you just memorize your book and know, oh, yeah, that sentence is there and it fits this puzzle? Or did when you were writing the book, did you think years from now I might have a radio show and this would make for a good puzzle?
Well, I've never seen this in a book other than as a puzzle. And so I've had, I think I've already answered this. I have puzzles that I like.
All right.
And so I didn't know, and so I saw it presented as a puzzle, and I haven't seen it in any other context. I did check Google under deaf as a post to see if it ever came out as deaf as a P-O-S-T, because I didn't want people to be able to figure out the answer in 10 seconds.
Well, if my question wasn't clear, you said that this was a sentence in your book, right?
No, it was never in my... I never wrote this in any of my books.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. Forget everything I just said.
Okay. You're forgiven or forgotten something, whatever that is. All right. Now, it's your turn to come up with a puzzle this week, Michael. Do you have such a puzzle?
Yes, I do. Before I say it, let me remind the listeners of the rules. Please do not search for the answer. Do not look at the current Blackjack newsletter. We're on the honor system here, so please go by what you know and make your best guess. The question is...
You can go scouting to try to find it actually physically. That's allowed.
That is allowed. So here's the question. Which two Las Vegas Strip casinos have 0 6-to-5 blackjack games? And this is only counting big strip casinos that have a hotel. And shall we define the strip as the Mandalay Bay to the Stratosphere? So this would not count places like Slots of Fun that do not have any table games anymore. And let's rule out the Casino Royale right now, which I don't think has any legitimate normal blackjack anymore. I think it's all stuff like Blackjack Switch. So there is the question. Submit your answers to gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. And the prize is an autographed copy of my book, Gambling 102.
Very good. And when we read this morning, when we were taping the show with Mr. Gone, he indicated that the South Point does not have any 6-to-5 blackjack games. So, which is why we had, and since they are on Las Vegas Boulevard, that's one reason why you had to do it.
And the South Point deserves all due credit for that, and... I think that the two casinos that are the answer to this puzzle do too, which we will mention next week.
Very good. And now let's hear from BJ Traveler. BJ Traveler is a Chinese citizen. He has an MBA from the University of Chicago. He has written 10 books in the Chinese language on gambling and traveling. He was formerly a securities broker in China. BJ Traveler, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
In the mid-1990s, you lived in Moscow for a year. The Russian mafia owned the casinos at that time. It must have been dangerous. Were you ever held up? Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, I was broke. I mean, that when I was in Taiwan stock market, the stock market crashed, so I lost all my money. So I need money. Okay, so I will go to anywhere that I can make money. So I went to, I heard that there are 200 casinos in Moscow.
200.
So I went there, went to Moscow. Yeah, wow, there are 200 casinos. And the great rules, full early surrender against ace, 3-2-2 same color blackjack. So you have 1% edge, positive edge, okay, off the top.
Even without counting, just
without
basic
counting.
Strategy?
Basic strategy.
All right.
Okay. So I played and played, and I know all the casinos owned by mafia, yes. And but I think that somehow that mafia, they don't know how to gamble. They open a casino, but they don't know how to gamble. They don't know how to manage the casinos. So they don't know your car counting. So somehow they are protecting their customers. We are their customers, right? So if somebody rob us outside casino, it's losing face for mafia. So somehow I felt that I was protected.
So the mafia was protecting you.
I hope for.
Well, you're still here.
Yes.
So I heard another one of your advantage plays is you went to a country in Asia, and you would bring a lot of your friends because you were getting a commission on their on bringing them in.
Yes.
As long as they played
yes.
To a certain amount of yes. time and average bet.
Well, I made $1.5 million from this rebate program. Okay, which is 1992 to 1994, okay, in blackjack, okay. So that's great, okay. But I will tell another story because my friend made $3 million in 2005 from this, the same casino, okay, from Baccarat, okay. What's the system? What's the problem with the casino, okay? The casino, if you buy $30,000 in chips, okay, and bet on Baccarat, then and you finish your 30,000 junkie chip, so you bet about 60,000. You're qualified. You're qualified. The casino gave you $2,300. Okay, you qualified. They gave you two night hotel. So your cost of traveling, airfare is $250. You're losing on the betting 60,000. You lose $750. So your cost is $1,000. Casino gave you $2,300. So my friend, he was a policeman, and he read my book and started doing this. He hired 20 people. Okay. So 3 day, one shift. Every 3 day, 15 people. Okay. Every 3 day, $20,000. So he took $3 million from this casino in 120 trips. One casino.
Wow.
That's 2005. And interesting is that this guy, okay, he read my book and he made the money. He gave me 6 kilo gold.
Six kilograms of gold?
So yes. That's 13 pounds or something. What is...
That's about $300,000 now, you know.
That's very generous of him.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
That'll make you a nice little bracelet.
So I think I'm well rewarded as a writer.
Yes. Yes, I keep asking for 10% when my students hit a royal, and one guy's talking about giving me $40. I'm in the wrong business. How many countries have you been to?
So far, 66 countries, and 66. I'm shooting for 100.
And if you get to 100, you're going to stop?
No, I have a dream, okay, something that I want to finish before my life, like a bucket list, as I learned from America, bucket list.
Uh-huh.
So
bucket
one of the list is 100 countries, and one of these is 10 books, so that's my dream.
How many countries in the world would you say have legitimate casino gambling with table games?
I think my record showed about 160.
Okay.
So there's supposed to be a new casino opening up in Fiji soon. Munchkin was telling us about that on one of his last shows. When they open up, are casinos good to go to when they open up, and are you going to be in Fiji?
I hope so. I will try to go to any new casino newly opened. I have a friend. You know, Fiji is like Pacific Ocean, right? An island. I have a friend that he went to Tahiti. Okay, he won $600,000 in 2 months from one Tahiti casino. Well, of course, this guy is legendary. He won $1.5 billion from horse racing.
Wow.
So Fiji and Tahiti sound like really nice places to go for a vacation and play, but what are some maybe more dangerous or less desirable countries that you've taken chances in?
Well, Colombia is a good place, okay?
I would be scared to go to Colombia.
Nepal is a good place. Sri Lanka is a good place. Why? Because they have this civil war. Any country has civil war, they are dangerous. And everybody don't want to go there. If the country has casinos, the casino offer very good terms. So you have 50 casinos in Colombia with very good terms because
yes,
counters
but you
don't
could
go.
Be shot.
Yes, and the problem is that I went to Colombia about 10 times. I was robbed $24,000 under gunpoint, but I made 10 times more than that. So it's a tax to pay.
So you look at it as a cost of doing business is getting robbed?
I try to avoid it, but you know, sometimes, in fact, like Colombia, okay, I brought two Israel with me. And the three people, we went in, and we brought $70,000. And the Colombia's custom says that, no, each person can only bring in 10,000, okay? We declared. They say, you cannot bring in more than 10,000. But we are here, so we say, we don't want to come into account. No, you cannot. So $40,000 were confiscated. But you can get the money back with 20% tax. So we went into a country. And then first, my friend went to a casino and won $8,000. So they were even. Then I was handling with the customer on the money, okay? Finally, I will apply and say that this is legal money. I'm here to buy a machine. Finally, they say, okay, you can have your money back. But you still have to pay $20,000 as a bribe. So I went to Central Bank and collect my $40,000 with a broker. And the broker drove me to a hotel because they want the bribe in local money. So the money is at my hotel safe. So when he parked the car, and then I have $40,000, and then I jumped the car and ran. After 7 minutes, I was caught. That guy was very tall. He's also a Chinese. So he called me. He said that, why'd you run? I said that it's not fair, right? 20% is too high. Suppose you have 20% tax, not 20% bribe. What's the difference? So he said that, well, you need not to pay. Okay, but if you don't pay, the custom officer, she's a lady. Her husband is the head of local security. So if you don't pay the money, then I'm not guaranteeing your safety or your body and your money. So I say, well, what the heck? It's not my money.
20% is not that much. Yes.
So I paid.
Yes, I'll bet you did. Were there any countries, like maybe in Asia, where you did not pay that kind of money and were put into jail? Like, I heard you were in jail for over 2 months.
Yeah. I went to Nepal from Australia. I was carrying $24,000. And Nepal require you declare money exceed $2,000. So I declared. I went to any country, I declared. Because how much you declare, usually you can bring out the same amount. Okay, so I declared $24,000. And the customs say, why are you here? I say, I bring so much money. I say, I'm here to gamble. I say, okay, you are welcome. Then when I went out, and my money was not hidden, so they found the money. He said, then the customs officer said, have you declared? I say, yes. And he said, where's your certificate of declaration? I say, I didn't get it. And supposedly the customs officer should give me the certificate, but he didn't, because if you don't have a certificate, they catch you, they get 20%.
So it's sounding kind of familiar.
Yeah. So I was sent to jail, and I was cheap, you know. I was poor. At that time, I was bankrupt, so I didn't want to bribe them, okay?
But $24,000 on you, you're not exactly bankrupt.
No. Yeah, but they want something like $2,000, and I thought I was legal. Right? I declared, right? So I didn't want to give them money.
Uh-huh.
They gave me a chance to bribe them. They brought so they were waiting for me, but I didn't say, and they didn't ask. So I was sent to custody. It's a Friday, so then for 3 days at the custody, only a small room, and after that, sent to big jail. after 3 days, I was lying there, and I have one leg. I have 57 bug bites. Then I was sent to jail for 76 days. I fought my case because
so 57 times 76. So how many bug bites was it over the whole trip?
Better at the big jail. I was playing at a casino. So my girlfriend was with me. So she went to casino for help. And the casino, they are very generous. I'm their greatest guest, and they know that I don't have work. So they sent a lawyer to fight my case for me free, and count my girlfriend at a casino hotel for 3 months free. And every day my girlfriend took food from casino restaurant to the jail for me to eat. So I have never eaten any. But one good thing is that I lost 15 kilos on the jail.
32 pounds.
So if you want to lose weight, go to Nepal.
Oh, good. You spend 30 days, get bug bites, but lose weight. That's better than Nutrisystem. 70,
and I lost 32 pounds in 76 days.
Yeah.
When I went out, I came back in 1 month.
Oh, dear. Now, you had a team in the United States where you counted cards. And apparently, at the end, some of your team members weren't happy with blackjack.
Yes, I have a small team. Year 2000, so a long time ago. At that time, it's easy to do a team in the States because like big player strategy. You need mutual entry. At that time, they don't care about mutual entry. So I form a small team with three counters and one big player, and the two counters were my readers. So they read my book, and they came to Las Vegas, and so together we do a small counting team. After 1 month, we won $66,000. So we split the money, so they were given $6,000 each. Then we went to another city, and we stopped. And another city, the big player, she was a student, she couldn't go, so only three counter went. So I gave them $5,000 to play each other as a big player. So the second day we planned to go out and play. Then I found out that they didn't have any money with them. I say, where are your money?
So they lost $5,000 each.
They say that. In fact, one of the person lost $10,000 that he borrowed from the other. So they say, this guy said that he lost everything on roulette. I said that now you know how to count cards. Why you play roulette? He said that after I learned how to count cards, card counting is boring.
It is boring. So I have to put up with the boredom, but
yeah. So I play roulette. That's what happened. Yeah.
At ends of the team.
Yeah. So you've traveled all over the world, and I've been to a number of countries and casinos too. And I've noticed that, of course, in Asia, baccarat is king. Here it's blackjack. In Southern South America, roulette is really big, as well as Europe. So can you tell us more about other parts of the world that may have another game that's the number one game other than those three?
Yeah. In Russia, the six-star poker, a variation of Caribbean-style poker. That's the biggest game, bigger than blackjack, baccarat, or roulette. Okay, and in that game, it's like American game. You can use one end to change one card. Even you can change two cards twice. Okay, so it's make it then when you change card, you don't have to give up a card. So you can five card on your hand. Then you pay one end. You got another card. You have six card on your hand. So it's usually called six card poker. And regular game is the dealer play when dealer has higher than ace king. But that game the dealer need to have a pair. Okay, so what dealer show? The dealer show one card. That card is most important. The dealer showed seven, then how many cards? Seven cards outside. That's the key. So
when the dealer shows an up card, you want everybody else at the table to tell
how many
sevens. And if there's another three sevens among the players, then you know the dealer cannot have a pair of sevens.
Yeah. Then you just play the hand, right? So you need to show the signal. Say the signal, the Chinese team, the signal is that when you see your dealer's card on your hand, you raise your card. And Russian team, their signal is that you see your dealer's card, you lower down your hand. So once I was in the second floor of the casino, I looked down. There's a table with three Chinese and three Russian. So you can see that.
So three hands were high. So they all were signaling.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, when the Chinese learned I mean, you don't care if it's in the Russian hand or the Chinese hand, so you learn the other guy's system, and it's just as useful.
Yes, yes, yes.
Ha! Now, let's assume I played blackjack as good as you, which I don't. But I'm an American, and you're Chinese.
Yes, yes.
Who would do better playing blackjack in foreign in countries other than the United States?
Depends.
Depends.
What
okay.
I'm doing now is that, okay, I have, of course, now I have many counting friends, American counting friends, right? And they have difficulty traveling abroad. They don't traveling abroad to play. They are afraid, right? So I arrange them to some safe country, and they are American, right? And then they play small and signal my big player, which they are Orientals. So we are doing something like 90 times spreads, no problem. That's a paradise.
Mm-hmm. So you hear about Americans getting kidnapped all the time on the news, and I know a lot of Americans, when they travel, say they're Canadian, thinking that it will lower their probability of being kidnapped or the victim of a hate crime against Americans. Do you think that helps?
Well, everybody knows that the Canadians, they are friends of America. Make no difference.
Okay.
So, Mike, why don't you pretend you're Chinese?
Xin ya hao.
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. All right. Now, when did you write your first book?
It's when I started doing this in 1992. And then after 2 years, I started a column at a magazine, and a gambling column. So after 1 year, I compiled all the gambling articles into my first book. So first book was published in 1995. And then the other day, okay, I met a famous writer, okay, everyone knows James Grosjean. And he said that he had two books out, and the publisher maybe 2,000, 3,000 copies. And I have 10 books, maybe sold about 40,000 copies. So Grosjean says that I would never match your quantity. I say that, of course, I couldn't match your quality, right? But I make it by quantity. And when I was only doing this for 3 years, I start writing my first book already. And some more qualified professionals, they say that you are so junior, you wrote a book. And what I say is that, well, 99% people don't count. As long as my book can, I don't want your 1% market. It's my book sold for the 99% market. I just know better than other regular people. That's all.
So I know your books are written in Chinese, but can you tell us what they're about?
Yeah, my book title is such like Beat Macau. And Blackjack.
So is that Blackjack in Macau or Roulette in Macau?
Well,
Baccarat,
in fact, we make a lot of money from Macau. Everybody think Macau is a continuous shuffle machine, is a hell for blackjack. But in fact, that Macau casino, okay, before like 2007, they gave rebates on blackjack. Okay, The rebate was so high in 2007. There's a casino gave 0.75% on your bets. Okay, but the basically you lose 0.23%. So every hand you get 0.5% on continuous shuffle machine. So every hand we bet 20,000 Hong Kong dollar, we took them 5.8 million Hong Kong dollar in 6 weeks.
And how much is 5.8 Hong Kong
dollar? $700,000 US dollar.
700,000 in 8 weeks.
Six weeks.
Oh, well, good then. Then that's okay then. 8 weeks, I couldn't live on that.
Eight weeks too long.
So I heard there's a casino in North Korea, which really surprises me. Can you confirm or deny that?
Well, in fact, there are more than one casino, many casinos in North Korea. You see those countries like Cambodia, like North Korea, like Laos, like Myanmar, okay? They open many casinos on the borders, just like Las Vegas doing business for California, when California has no casino. So all those poor countries, they open casino on the borders to get rich country, their neighbors' money. And, gambling is like a form of tax, happy tax. So by doing border casino, like Russian, they do many casino on the border of China. So around China, maybe there are 500 casino, you know, doing China business, you know. Mm-hmm. You have North Korea doing China, you have Laos doing China, you have Myanmar doing China, you have Kazakhstan doing China, you have, I don't think Mongolia not yet, but Russia have many casino around the Chinese border.
Sounds like a good place to put a casino.
Yes, yes. Very good business, yes.
BJ Traveler, we want to thank you very much for joining us here on Gambling with an Edge. It is very educational. We wish you continued success at going to your other 34 casinos.
34 countries.
34 countries.
I play 800 casinos.
800 so casinos. I think it's only 798. Okay. thank you very much for being here.
My pleasure.
My pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Michael, what did we learn tonight?
Yeah, that was a good interview. I learned that about the value of collusion in Caribbean Stud, which I think you need some of the bonus rules about changing cards to make that profitable, and going to casinos when the country first legalizes gambling. And I learned that paying a bribe is probably better than going to jail. How about you? What did you learn?
Well, I can just imagine me telling Shirley that, honey, I'm going to go play blackjack in Colombia. There is a civil war going on there, and I'm probably going to be robbed, but it's really a great opportunity. I'll see you in a couple months. I think that would go over real well. How would that go over in your marriage?
No, that would not go over well. My wife won't even let me go to Mexico.
All right. So, you have several websites, Michael. So what's happening at the Wizard of Odds and your other websites?
Okay, let's look at the Wizard of Macau. That's a website that I probably should be spending more effort on, but I have a writer that writes a lot of stuff for that website, and he just finished writing a whole bunch of stuff. And I just added a review yesterday of the City of Dreams, which is kind of like our city center. So he writes a lot of good articles. So the Wizard of Macau, click on casinos, and there will be reviews of almost every casino in Macau. At the Wizard of Vegas, what's going on over there? I just wrote a review of the Gold Strike. I stayed there when I attended the Gaming Protection Conference last week at the M, because the M was sold out. And at the Wizard of Odds, I just finished a very good page, in my opinion, about the game Spin Fever. This is a video poker game that I saw at the Red Rock, in which if the player gets a flush or better on the draw, then he will earn multipliers towards a bonus spin. And as long as the player has at least one multiplier, he can trigger the bonus whenever he wants to. And if one player triggers the bonus, the other players will have the option to join in that bonus and spend their multipliers on it. It has a very complicated strategy because of this incentive to get flushes and better on the draw. And so I worked pretty hard on that, and just released that today.
Interesting. Now, that is a videopoker.com website, or game. It's like, or it used to be called Action Gaming, but it is one of their games, it sounds like.
Indeed, it is on videopoker.com. They're very good about having all the latest games on their site for their gold members, and I played it a fair bit there just to make sure that I understood the rules correctly. So it's a good place to try out the game before you play it for real.
Interesting. Since you have to get the flush on the deal, it's at first blush it seems hard to think that that would change the strategy much.
The bonuses come from the hand on the draw.
That could change the strategy.
Yeah, indeed. In fact, for example, in Jacks or Better, you never toss everything. If I recall correctly, you would keep a suited low card to a single high card. And
a king three of hearts is better than the king by itself.
Yes, it is. And if I'm not mistaken, three to a flush beats a low pair. So it's a real crazy strategy. And I indicate the strategy for 8-5 jacks on my website.
And so 8-5 jacks normally is 97.3. So what would Spin Fever on 8-5 jacks be?
It's a little bit above that. Don't remember exactly off the top of my head. But the way IGT does all their bonus games is that it's always to your advantage to make the bonus bet to enable whatever feature they're offering. In this case, you have to know the correct strategy to make it profitable. And
but even a 0.25% advantage to the games, which is what a lot of the action gaming advantages range, if the base game is 8-5 jacks, 97.3, adding a 0.25% to that, it still sucks. So you would want to basically wait for a casino to offer it on 8-5 bonus or better.
Yeah, that's kind of the bottom line is usually with these novelty games, they're never as good as some conventional video poker game you can see out on the floor every day. However, there are exceptions. Quick Quads is a good one. That is often the best game to play in a lot of casinos.
Yes, it is. Let's talk about our sponsors. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else. They're having a food promotion this week, Mondays through Thursdays. Play 300 points and earn a free lunch buffet. Pay 600 points and earn a free dinner buffet. You keep the points. Double Point Day is St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, which is a Saturday. They have a free slot tournament on Thursdays, for which you have to be a sexy senior, 50 years or older. I have that covered. Michael, your day will come. So you get one free entry just for showing up, and you can earn up to two additional entries at the rate of 250 points apiece. You keep the points. A total of 30 winners share $5,200, with the winner receiving $1,500. The points you play for this promotion can also count for the buffet. So it's actually counting twice. So towards the free entries on the slot tournament and the free buffets. At the Palms, the play, earn, and win promotion, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the first part of the month, gives you chances to earn a washing machine, a vacuum cleaner, a coffee maker, and various smaller prizes. You keep the points. To earn the washing machine, you need to if you're playing video poker, it needs to be $300,000 coin in at video poker between midnight and 10 p.m. I don't know how many washing machines they've given away so far this month. I would suspect the number is somewhat under one, but I'm not sure. Every Saturday night, they're giving away a 2012 Jeep Patriot. This has a market value of $20,000, round number. And if you win, you can take $16,000 in cash at your option. The way it works is on both Friday and Saturday evenings, 10 people's names, actually numbers, are drawn. They get $500 and a chance at the Jeep. After the Saturday drawing, they're both at 7 o'clock, they will then have the drawing of just the 20 winners, and one of those will go home with the Jeep or the money. So so I won last Friday. I got $500 and did not get called on Saturday. And so I had a 1 in 20 chance for the, for in my case, I was going to take $16,000. So that made the extra equity $800. I did not cash this time. But I was in it. So I did not play this week. So I'm not going to be there tomorrow night. But very likely later in the month, I will play some more and have another shot at the Jeep. I haven't won a car all this year so far. So I need another one. They have a win for losing slot rebate program for new members that pays your losses up to $500. This is a generous program, and it has a few caveats. You must be a non-resident of Clark County to qualify. Only losses in the first 24 hours count, up to a maximum of $500. You get some of your rebate immediately in the form of free play, some of it between 14 days later and 6 months, and the last batch between 3 months and 1 year. The rebates must be collected in person at the Club Palms, and there must be at least 14 days between rebate collections. This month, the Sterling Advantage program for seniors on Wednesdays, actually it's on Thursdays, includes a free slot tournament and a swipe. A common result on the swipe is spinning a wheel. This is like a big six wheel with 60 slots in it, except it is smaller, so I guess it's a little wheel, little six wheel. A lot of the prizes are very small, like 400 points or 1,000 points worth a dollar or 250 in free play, but you can win 25, 50, 75, or $100 in free play if you hit the right slot. VideoPoker.com. The contest this month at VideoPoker.com will be Triple Play, and they're also running a poker tournament that benefits Opportunity Village. Opportunity Village is a local charity that serves people with intellectual disabilities. The monthly contest usually starts the last week of the month, and we'll have more details later on. Something in the news about the Epic Poker League. Epic Poker League has been running at the Palms, and they filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The commissioner of the league, Annie Duke, was on the show last year, and she talked about it. And another recent guest, Daniel Negreanu, has been an outspoken critic of both Annie Duke and the Epic Poker League. So his rant, which may be found on cardplayer.com, is an interesting critique of what happened. I recommend you could check out cardplayer.com and listen to Daniel's rant. So, Michael, what other countries have you gambled in? Kind of a follow-up to the BJ Traveler question.
Let's see. Monte Carlo.
I've done that. I've been there. Was in the casino.
I was just, playing for fun there. Canada, lots of times. Panama, Argentina, Uruguay, Australia, and the Bahamas. Unfortunately, in all of those, I was just doing recreational gambling. I think as a gambling writer, it helps to actually gamble a little bit, and I always scout around for a good advantage play whenever I'm in a casino, but didn't detect any, so just killed a little time and bet red chips.
Yeah, my there's some overlap. I've gambled in Canada and in San Juan, Puerto Rico, which I guess that's a country, and I've been in casinos in Barcelona, Spain, and an Italian city. I forget which one that was. So I have gambled in Italy. So I was in the Monte Carlo, and I was actually on a cruise ship, and so we went in, and it was pretty. We went in at 1 o'clock on Friday, on a Saturday afternoon. It was pretty empty. And we were not dressed elegantly. So this is the Monte Carlo Casino is 150 years old and this huge chandelier. So I suspect it was extremely elegant in its day. And now compared to the Bellagio and the other Las Vegas strips, it looks 150 years old.
Yeah, it's when I went to Monte Carlo, there's four casinos in Monte Carlo. Mm-hmm. There's the famous one, which I think is just called the Monte Carlo Casino. But nearby, there's three other ones, and, I had to just look around the famous one, but then I played at the one next door, which was called the Sporting Casino or something like that.
Is that one Lowe's?
There's a casino that's right next to it it's called the Paris Casino or Casino de Paris.
It's not across the lobby, or it's across the plaza?
It's in the plaza, and it's right next to the famous one.
Okay.
And by the way, I forgot to add to my list Germany and Curacao. Now, you mentioned Puerto Rico, and I've never really understood if Puerto Rico is a separate country or not. It's technically part of the United States, but it doesn't enjoy the same kinds of, rights as the 50 states.
So that's a discussion for somewhere else. Last week, we had Elliot Jacobson on. And he talked about the design of carnival table games. And one of the things he said was that now is a really great time to be an advantage player at carnival games. Now, we didn't really follow up last week. Michael, do you have any thoughts on this? Is this a great time to be a carnival game advantage player?
I think if you are an advantage player, playing the carnival games is a very good angle. It's difficult to do. You need to have a wide base of knowledge according to what game you might find out there and what the hole carding strategy is for that game or exploiting whatever mistake you may find. It's not really something that I do. I was really into hole carding, three-card poker for a while. But I would definitely agree with Elliot that just about any game can be hole carded, and a good advantage player who does that should know the strategy for lots of games. Now, the way I interpreted his remark was that this is the best time to be doing that. Personally, I think you would have been even better off, say, several years ago when hardly anybody knew about holding three-card poker, and it was easy to find great games everywhere. And I know that other people were finding great stuff in other games. Today, it's probably a little bit more difficult, but it's still that apple is still very ripe and makes for good eating.
So the basic strategy on a lot of these games can be found on thewizardofodds.com. Some of the more technical strategy of hole carding needs to be found in James Grosjean's book, which is Beyond Counting. And the exhibit CAA is the latest version of the book. Some people find it difficult to obtain, and I don't think it's very difficult to obtain, but it is expensive. On eBay, copies are going for something like $3,000 a copy. So last time I saw Grosjean, I begged him to sell me a copy for some kind of reasonable price, and he declined. He's in the process of revising it. And when he revises it, he promises to be on the show and talk about it and tell people where they can get it. And I told Munchkin about that, and Munchkin said, I'll bet the under. So, which means he doesn't think that's going to happen, but I'm hoping it does.
I'm a proud owner of both of Grosjean's books, and I paid the face value for both of them. Grosjean was kind enough to sell me a copy of his latest one, the first one I picked up at the Huntington Press office. And the latest book must weigh about 6 pounds. It's like a heavy college textbook. It costs $300. I don't remember the website you go to, but I'm sure if you did a search on Beyond Counting Exhibit CAA, it would lead you to the right place. And you have to ask Grosjean for the privilege of selling you a book. And he does not want this book falling into the hands of people on the other side. So he's pretty careful about who he sells it to.
Yeah, the website says it'll sell it to you for $250, but then you send your information and most people never hear from him again. So, but I hope he's on. He's recognized as one of the top people out there. Next week, we're not sure who we're going to have as a guest because of the Michael Gaughan mix-up today. We're scrambling a little bit. We have a couple options. We do have another tape in the hold, which we'd like to keep in the hold and have somebody else. I post on VP Free and on videopoker.com. Michael posts on his website. So the information about who we have is out there. Right now, we don't know who it is, but we hope you come back and listen to it. And in 2 weeks, we're going to have Stanford Wong about his sharp sports betting. He's been a great influence on Michael's prop betting. So until then, thank you very much. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes.
Good night, everyone.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and wizardofodds.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. Our sponsors are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the Palms Casino Resort, the website videopoker.com, and the website wizardofodds.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.